better by Birdseye.
Birdseye Frosted Foods.
Birdseye Frosted Foods present the Dine Ashore program with Cornelia Otis Skinner and Roland Young, Robert Emmett Dolan and his orchestra, the Joseph Lilly Singers, our comedy star, Wally Brown, and...
Dinah, is there anyone finer than...
Dinah Shore.
Low, when you speak love, our summer day withers away too soon, too soon. Speak low, when you speak love, our moment is swift like ships adrift, we're swept apart. Soon. Speak low, darling, speak low. Love is a spark lost in the dark. Too soon, too soon. I feel wherever I go that tomorrow is near. Tomorrow is here. And always too soon. Time is so old and love so brief. Love is pure gold and time a thief. Everything ends too soon, too soon. I wait, darling, I wait. Will you speak love to me? Speak love to me.
Hi there, everybody. This is Dinah. At this time, it is my pleasure and privilege to offer you farmer Wally Brown, who has been cultivating his crops for years and has this one great statement to make.
My back is killing me!
Well, farmer Brown! Wally, what in the world are you doing in those overalls?
Dinah, I gotta rush right back to my farm. I got more hoeing to do.
Right now?
Sure, when you got a hoe, you got a hoe. I mean...
Oh. Wally, the only thing you ever raised was 3 plums on a slot machine.
Oh, I wouldn't. I mean, I need your help on the farm. I'm searching for the needle in the haystack.
Yeah, well, what do we do if we find the needle?
We'll sow the wheat.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, the appearance of that joke on this program does not constitute an endorsement of Wally Brown's writer.
Okay, come on. Let's go to the farm.
Yes, let's go to the farm. Ah, look at this. Look at it. Look at it. Look. Well, here's the farmhouse. Let's go over.
How did we get here?
Yeah, didn't we get a little ahead of ourselves?
No, here we come now.
Oh.
Now, let's go into the farmhouse.
Wally, I'm thirsty. Where's the kitchen?
First door to your left. You'll find it right down there by the... Hey.
How do you like that, Dinah? He keeps the chickens in the kitchen.
On this program, we lay eggs anywhere. How come that rooster's crowing at this time of day, Wally?
He was out half the night with an old hen. Anyway, come on. Let's go outside and take a look at the farm.
Oh, look. It's Frankie.
Oh, Dinah, wait. Wait, Dinah, that's not Sinatra. That's my scarecrow. Up there.
Well, it's not fair to have him wearing a bow tie.
Well, he couldn't get the...
Look, Wally, please. I'm getting tired of walking.
Oink, oink.
All right, Harry, here, you can ride piggyback. Get on that thing.
Let's get on the horses and round up the cattle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yippee!
Oh,
whatchamacallit. Hey. Hey, Wally, have you got a... You're quite a horseman.
Yes, I am.
Say, have you got a lot of cattle, Wally?
I have about 500 head out there.
Hmm?
100 head.
Huh?
10 head. Well, two heads are better than one, I think. Now, in this corner, we have my tobacco field.
Oh, yeah. Say, why have you got that fence running through the middle there?
Well, that's to separate the cigars from the cigarettes. You see what I mean? Have to... Hey, Harry, have a cigar. A coroner.
A coroner?
Yeah.
No, what? You mean a corona?
Smoke the cigar and see who comes for you. I mean...
Say, Wally, I've seen enough of this farm. Let's go back.
Okay. First, let me show you my cows. They're wonderful. Yeah. Oh, you'll love it. Here, give me that pail there, Harry.
Yes, sir. Yeah, here you are.
Well, it seems like you have to do all the work on this farm.
Well, I have to. I haven't got any hands.
What do? Milk the cows with your elbows?
Well, be good if I... I'll show you how I milk them. Here, come on, watch this, Harry.
Bah, bah, bah.
I thought that was kind of short for a cow. I mean...
You are a farmer, Fooey.
Yes, Fooey.
Wally, you better give up and come back to the city with us. Huh?
Now, don't be silly, Harry. I'm a scientific farmer. It was a big one, too. I mean, I had a bumper. I had a mean crop of, I mean, I can raise a, I study, too, you know. I was way up in the, in fact, there's only one thing bigger than my farm.
What's that?
My mortgage. My whole, I'll wait. My whole family worked on a farm. My dad used to love to work on the farm. He loves to work anyway. He loves work. Work fascinates him. He can sit and look at it for hours. And my great-grandfather, there was a guy. He got up early. He got up early one morning and staked a claim. Nowadays, you have to get up early to claim a stake. It says right here. And it was wonderful, though. Sugar. I've raised lump sugar and brown sugar and maple sugar. And...
You raise cane?
Well, just on Saturday night, stranger. I sold horse meat, too. It was wonderful. I got 20 cents a pound for the horses and 18 cents a pound for the saddles. It was wonderful. Makes a swell dinner. You don't have to pass the meat. It just gallops around the table. It's great. And the mosquitoes on my farm are very patriotic. They bite you and then they fly to the blood bank. It's great. They bite you and then they fly to the blood bank. Oh, I thought you didn't hear me. Anyway, they bite you. I had 2 acres of vegetables. They're wonderful. If you want an apple, you pick it right off the tree. If you want a grape, you pick it off the vine. If you want a tomato, you call her up. It's wonderful. Wonderful.
Hey, Wally.
Yeah.
Wally, listen.
Yes.
Look at your cattle. What are they doing?
Oh.
They're coming this way.
No. Oh.
They're stampeding.
Oh, my cattle. Oh. Oh, they're not stampeding this way, are they, Dinah? They'll turn off, won't they, Harry? Dinah, we're not scared, are we? They wouldn't run through a barn, would they, Harry? Well, what do you know? Shake hands with Flat Top.
Stick around, Wally, while Helpful Harry happily helps housewives hold down household finances. Honorable hostesses, here's Harry.
Well, you know, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, it's always good to have money, or at least to make the money you have do the most for you, give you the best value. And when it comes to buying food, that means buying Bird's Eye Frosted Foods. Because Bird's Eye is a top food value, giving you more for your money today than the finest of market vegetables. There's absolutely no waste with Bird's Eye, no stalks or peels or pods to pay for as you do with market vegetables. Why, one package of Bird's Eye peas, for example, equals 2 pounds of peas in the pod. Bird's Eye comes to you all cleaned and prepared and ready to cook, saving you work as well as money. What's more, Bird's Eye Foods are flavor savers and vitamin savers. For since they're quick frozen within about 4 hours after picking, their garden fresh flavor, vitamins, and minerals are sealed in, saved for you. Believe me, you save, you get top value, a value that even market vegetables can't beat when you get Bird's Eye. So be sure you do get Bird's Eye. Always look for the name Bird's Eye on the package. Bird's Eye Frosted Foods.
I can't show my face, can't go any place. People stop and stare, it's so hard to bear. Everybody knows you left me. It's the talk of the town. Every time we meet, my heart skips a beat. We don't stop to speak, though it's just a week. Everybody knows you left me. It's the talk of the town. We sent out invitations to friends and relations, announcing our wedding day. Friends and our relations gave congratulations. How can you face them? What can you say? Let's make up, sweetheart. We can't stay apart. Don't let foolish pride keep you from my side. How can love like ours be ended? It's the talk of the town. Sweetheart, we can't stay apart. Don't let foolish pride keep you from my side. Everybody knows you left me. It's the talk.
Contented married couple in these United States of America than William and Mary. And yet there's a lot going on behind people's faces that sometimes isn't apparent, no matter how happy they are. Tonight, as we join our old friends, William and Mary, they are sitting after dinner quietly in their living room, enjoying one another's company. Will is in the easy chair, and Mary is sitting before the fire, knitting, presenting Cornelia Otis Skinner and Roland Young as William and Mary.
Want your book?
No, I haven't finished the evening paper. Where is my book?
In your lap.
Oh. I love home.
Happy?
Mm-hmm. I'd be completely so if I could only find my pipe.
That shouldn't be difficult. It's in your hand.
Oh.
Sometimes, dearest, I think you should have been a college professor.
Because of my mind?
Because of the absence of it.
Professor of what?
Oh, I don't know. Greek, dentistry, anything.
Would you like being the wife of a college professor?
I wouldn't mind it as long as it was a man's college.
Mary, sometimes you give alarming indications of being a loose character.
That's one reason you like me. Anything new in the paper?
Nothing much. It says rain.
I could have told you that without reading it in the paper. It's been pouring all day.
Sort of fresh, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. What else does it say in the paper?
It says that good wives don't interrupt their husbands while they're reading it.
Sorry.
By George, Mrs. Curtis is dead.
Will, what an awful way to scare a person.
What do you mean?
Coming out with news like that so boldly.
Well, how would you suggest coming out with it?
Well, more sort of breaking it gently. You could say, guess who's dead?
Mrs. Curtis wasn't a particular friend of ours.
Well, I know, but it seems only respectful to act appropriately mournful.
I feel sort of sorry for him.
Yes, they've been married some time, haven't they?
25 years.
Oh, he'll probably marry again.
After a session of 25 years, I want a little liberty. I mean, I should think he'd be too inconsolable to marry again.
You'd be surprised how easily consoled some men are. William.
Mary.
If I died, who would you marry?
Mary, what a dreadful thing to say.
No, who would you?
I wouldn't marry anybody.
Oh, yes, you would. I'd want you to.
Well, I never of all the...
One must face facts now and then.
Face facts? Face what facts? You haven't died, thank heaven.
No, but I'll have to someday.
What day? Mary, are you feeling ill?
No, I never felt better in my life. But you can't tell. I might go into some sort of decline or eat a mushroom that turned out to be a toadstool.
Stop it, Mary. Of all the morbid...
Not morbid at all. I asked you a perfectly practical, unemotional question. If I died, who would you marry?
I wouldn't marry anyone, I tell you.
But you'd have to. You wouldn't know how to be anything but married. I wouldn't trust you unmarried.
Wouldn't trust me in regard to what?
Other women.
You wouldn't trust me in regard to other women, yet you want me to have a second wife. That's logic for you.
No, I'd want you to have someone to make you happy. Well, not too happy, of course. But well taken care of. Someone nice. Some friend of mine.
Some friend of yours? I suppose you couldn't possibly be some friend of mine.
Well, I'd have to know first. Go ahead, Will.
Go ahead with what? Announcing my engagement?
I'm really serious. How about Helen Tucker?
Helen Tucker is the shape of a sofa cushion, and she bores the living daylights out of me.
That's fine. Then you'd never love her as much as you do me.
Mary, I'm trying to show you that I couldn't love anybody as much as I do you.
Well, that's sweet of you, dear, but you're going to have to marry someone. Charlotte Perkins would make a good wife.
Are you crazy? Charlotte Perkins is happily, blissfully married to my best friend.
Yes, but he might die, and that would keep it all in the family.
This is by all means the most gruesome.
I know someone, Sophie Yarnell.
Sophie Yarnell grins like a hyena, and she's so skinny, one might as well get cozy with a bicycle.
I tell you someone.
Don't tell me anyone. Mary, this is all preposterous and idiotic. But since you will harp on the subject, why pick out these impossible creatures? Might as well marry me off to some old hag.
Well, who would you suggest?
No one, I tell you.
If you had to, if it was the law.
Well, if it were the law, I can't think. Well, let's see. Peg McFadden mightn't be so bad.
Peg McFadden? Why, she's not wife material. She's a siren. Sirens don't marry.
They must have married sometime in the ancient days, otherwise there wouldn't be any little sirens today.
No, you admit Peg's a siren, then.
Not necessarily, but she's pretty and amusing.
Is that what you want in a wife?
One of the things. You're pretty and amusing.
Don't try to sidetrack. What other qualifications has she?
Oh, I don't know. She's companionable and she dresses well.
She spends most of her income on clothes.
Well, she has her own income to spend. That's another thing in her favor.
Well, of all the hard boys...
You said you wanted me well taken care of.
I meant in more noble ways.
Oh, what noble ways?
Oh, I don't know. Things like giving you the food you like and taking your clothes to the tailor's. By the way, I forgot to take your suit today, but I'll take it tomorrow. And removing those dangerous little pins the laundry sends back in your shirts. Peg wouldn't do any of those things.
Well, she might learn.
Not a woman like that.
Like what?
Like Peg. Why, I bet she wouldn't even bother to learn your collar size.
Do you know my collar size?
Of course I know your collar size.
What is my collar size?
Your collar size?
My collar size, yes.
Well, I always look before I buy you any new ones. That's all beside the point.
May I ask what is the point?
The point is you want to bring a person like Peg McFadden into my house.
But I don't want any such thing. I'm
married. Oh, yes, you do. Obvious, you'd rather be married to her, an irresponsible person who only cares about having a good time. Do you think for one minute she'd bother about your needs?
Mary, this is utterly ridiculous.
And Emmy, what about our little daughter? Suppose she got sick. That woman would probably leave Emmy to die like me.
Mary, you're becoming hysterical.
I'm not hysterical, you brute. Here you are mooning about my successor, and I'm not even dead yet.
Thank goodness you're not, my darling. Mary?
Yes, Will?
What would you do if anything were to happen to me?
Well, what a silly question. I'd stay right here and take care of Emmy.
And that, my dear, is precisely what I should do. Now, where is that confounded newspaper?
In your lap, darling.
And now we return you to Dinah Shore in Hollywood.
In the celluloid opus Up in Arms, we do a tune called Tess's Torch Song. Tess meets this boy and figures she'll maneuver him into an exclusive contract. Then Tess's girlfriend walks in, and after some rapid two-timing, dear Tess is left holding the torch. The orchestra's on her side, so before you, we'd like to try the case of poor Tess. I had a man, he was a good man, that is, you see, what I mean is I thought he was a good man. I had a friend, she was a good friend. I told my friend about my man, 'cause I thought she was a good friend. Life was sweet, didn't I have my man? World complete. Then the fireworks began. Ain't got no man. Ain't got no friend. I bet you can guess just exactly what happened. That was the end of my friend, the end of my man, and darn near the end of me.
Once again, Bird's Eye Frosted Foods present their own little theater group, the Frigid Midget Playhouse. Tonight we tell you the story of a great Indian chief, Shortcake. Or, why does an Indian wear a feather in his hair?
I don't know, Mr. Bones. Why does an Indian wear a feather in his hair?
To keep his wig warm.
Chief Shortcake and his squaw lived with their daughters, Mocha, Doka, and Oka. And being an Indian, the chief loved cornmeal, and so he planted acres and acres of corn. The day it was ripe, Shortcake got up early and headed for his cornfield. But all of a sudden, a big storm came up, and the wind scattered the corn all over the countryside, and the lightning hit Shortcake, and he fell motionless to the ground. His squaw screamed as she saw the body of her husband laid out so cold and still. Mocha, Doka, and Oka, crying bitterly, told their mother that they would bury Shortcake. But the squaw said,
"No! Squaw bury Shortcake."
But then an odd thing happened. Chief Shortcake moved. He was merely stunned and not dead at all. But alas and alack, there was no corn, and he and his family were very unhappy. But the squaw hit upon an idea, and she said to the chief,
"Go to Bird's Eye Food Store and get package of Bird's Eye Quick Frozen Golden Sweet Corn. I hear on radio it tastes very good."
So the chief went and took Mocha, Doka, and Oka with him. It was a long trip, and the girls got tired, so the chief carried Mocha and Doka on his back. He couldn't carry Oka, so he did the rumba. Finally, they arrived at the store, and Shortcake asked for a package of bird's eye corn. But the clerk said everybody loved bird's eye corn so much that he just sold his last package. But when Shortcake came out of that grocery store, he had a package of bird's eye golden sweet corn. And when he got home, his squaw opened the package and popped the kernels of golden corn into boiling water. And in just a few minutes, she served her family the most delicious corn they had ever eaten. Chock full of sugar sweet flavor, a farm fresh flavor that makes you think you picked the corn right out of your own cornfield. You see, bird's eye...
Just a moment. How did the Indian get the...
Bird's eye picks their sweet corn when the kernels are plump and milky. Oh. And then the corn is immediately husked, cut and cleaned, then inspected again.
Harry,
to
how did the Indian...
Make sure you get nothing but perfectly clean golden kernel of corn.
Yeah, but how did the
Then it is immediately quick frozen so that all its natural goodness, its farm freshness, and its vitamins are captured until you are ready to eat it.
Yeah, but...
And so Chief Shortcake and his family enjoyed, as you will too,
sure.
the most delicious corn found anywhere.
Yes, but...
Bird's eye golden sweet corn.
Sure.
The end.
Harry, look, if the clerk said there was no bird's eye corn, how did the Indian get a package?
Easy, the Indian had a reservation.
I see what...
These days, the doctors are busy doing the greatest job in the history of their fine profession. So when we have tiny ills like the blues... Let's call up another M.D., the good old doctor of music, because he'll write us a simple little prescription that goes like this. Hallelujah, hallelujah, come you sinners, gather round. Sinners, I have found a land where the weary forever are free. Come, you sinners, and just follow me. Forget your troubles, just get happy. Better chase all your cares away. Hallelujah, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. The sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Hallelujah, get happy. We're going to the promised land. We're heading across the river. Wash your sins away in the tide. It's all so peaceful on the other side. Get your troubles, just get happy. Better chase all the cares away. Hallelujah, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Heading across the river. Wash your sins in the tide. It's all so peaceful on the other side. Forget your troubles and just get happy. Better chase all your cares away. Hallelujah, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Get ready for the judgment day. This is Dinah saying thanks and good night till next Thursday.
And remember, folks, better buy Bird's Eye. Remember, too, that Wally Brown is currently co-starring in the RKO picture, Rookies in Burma. Next week, Dinah's going to have as her special guest, Ginny Sims. And so we hope you'll all be with us next week. Good night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.